The other thing that I had somebody ask a question about was should seniors, I know you kind of made mention that you know, it's going to be a ways before the general public, but should seniors start making an appointment now, or how will they find out when it's their turn to get the vaccine? And I guess that's true for any of us. When will we know when it's our turn?
Yeah, at this point, I would not, you know, inundate the system with making appointments to get the vaccine, because, you know, that's probably a few months away yet. Basically, what'll happen is this first wave is for frontline workers, healthcare workers, and long-term care residents, and they'll. As I said, you know, some hospitals aren't getting enough vaccine to vaccinate all their staff. The Moderna one will get approved, and if that gets approved, then there'll be more supply. But the government feels it's going to take between a week and 5 weeks to do all the frontline workers. So then next would be the essential workers, which is police, fire, prison guards, teachers, you know, that sort of thing. And they figure it will take between 5 and 15 weeks to inoculate all of those who want it in that category. So at the very earliest, we're talking 4 months before the general public will get it. Although in the essential workers, they did add, well, I said teachers into that, mm-hmm. but, you know, Phase 1C is where anybody 65 or over. So if you're a senior citizen, you're about 15 to 16 weeks out at best. And during that four-month time period, you know, the health department, the local pharmacies, and others will start to develop the plans and the logistics on how they're going to be inoculating. And I would think it's probably going to be at the health department or in community vaccinations, or at a local pharmacy, is probably not going to be in the physician offices. But again, that's yet to be determined, because just the logistics of keeping the vaccine, especially the Pfizer vaccine, where it has to be kept at negative 70 degrees below zero, mm-hmm. there are not a lot of physician offices that have that capability. And then once you thaw it out, you have only 6 hours and you have to use it. So there's a lot of logistical problems. Even if you're doing a community event, you know, you'd have to, you can keep the vaccine on dry ice for up to 30 days. So, you know, if all of a sudden there's a community program, you know, that's how that will probably happen. But again, you need to have the logistics set up that, okay, the vaccine arrives at this time. We need to inoculate this many people at this time. And then, you know, the one thing that's unique about this vaccine that I'm hearing is that before, if you left, in this one, they are recommending that you observe the patient for 15 minutes after the vaccine is given to determine if there's going to be any adverse reactions. And if you're somebody who has any allergies at all to anything, food, dog hair, pet hair, whatever, that they want you to observe for 30 minutes after you get the vaccine. So that's going to put another logistical, you know, concern in there, because if you're vaccinating a lot of people and you need to observe them for 15 to 30 minutes, you're probably not going to do a drive-through line.
Sure.
Because how are you going to observe those people for that period of time?
And the other question, one that I had, was, now you say you've got 900, I think, what it was, doses. Is that, with this vaccine, it's two doses. Does that mean you've got that many for two doses, or is it divided in half and that's how many you've got? Or
no, they're shipping us, from what we gather, 975 doses, and then 3 weeks from today they'll ship us another 975 doses. And that's the Pfizer vaccine. The Moderna vaccine also requires two doses, because I've heard people say, well, I'm going to wait for the Moderna to come out because you only have to get one shot with that. But no, that's not true. It requires two doses 28 days apart. So the Pfizer is two doses 21 days apart. The Moderna is two doses 28 days apart. And the thing from a protection perspective is that after your first dose, you are not protected from COVID until you get that second dose.
Right.
And then they're seeing that it's 7 to 10 days after you get that second dose is really when your immunity starts. So really from day one to day, let's say in the Pfizer case, 31, which would be 10 days after your second dose, you could still get COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
And even after you get the vaccine, there's a 5% chance that you could get COVID still, even though you were vaccinated. So it gives you a lot better protection, but it doesn't give you absolute protection.
Dave, and I think we've talked about this before, and this was another question, but do you anticipate this is going to be something similar to the flu vaccine for now, where people are going to have to get it annually or every other year, something like that?
I guess, you know, it's. I hope that's the case, the best case scenario, but because it's so new and because, you know, we're all learning along with the vaccine makers, we don't know, and you know, as more and more people get vaccinated and more data comes in, excuse me, about the impact and the efficacy of it and, you know, how long it lasts, you know, we're all in this, you know, I guess, test tube right now,
mm-hmm.
We're all trying to figure out what works and doesn't work, and, you know, the things that worked or they tried when treating COVID patients in the hospital in March and April are different than what they're doing now because we've learned from that, and, you know, it's hard to think that, you know, some of those early COVID patients in the hospital may have lived now with what we know now and passed away because we didn't have that knowledge, you know, 9 months ago. And so that's what the difficulty is with this virus. You know, I mean, you know, a lot of things that's been around forever, like, you know, somebody comes in with a heart attack. Well, you know what lab values you need to look at. You know what x-rays or films or whatever you need to look at. You know, if certain lab values are here or there, it means there's a blockage and they need to get off to a cardiac catheterization and then maybe a stent or open heart surgery. Well, those are evidence-based and best practices that we've learned from for years and years and years and have that pretty well down. In this case, you know, we're talking 9 months, and so we don't know what best practice is. We don't know what evidence-based is because it's all so new. And that's the difficulty in predicting anything. I mean, it's good that the vaccine's here. I'm hoping that, you know, once healthcare workers get vaccinated, that, you know, the effectiveness of the vaccine is over 95% and that, you know, it lasts for, I mean, it'd be nice if it lasts your lifetime.
Sure.
But, you know, too early to tell. I would think from what I'm seeing, it's not going to last a lifetime. It may be a year, but, you know, With all this mask wearing and social distancing or whatever, we've pretty much eliminated flu A and flu B. I mean, we've only had one case so far. And so does the flu shot, regular flu shot, turn into, okay, we're going to get just a COVID flu shot every year?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you have to get both? I mean, those are unknowns that we'd really like to tell our community and the patients what is going to happen. But we're a little more informed than most, but there's still a lot of questions on our end as well.
Well, and I would imagine a lot of that's just because of the sheer speed at how this thing has developed. I mean, we talked, you know, back in March and April, you know, about, you know, working on a vaccine. I don't know if you or I thought that at this point we'd be talking about middle of the week you might be vaccinating your employees.
Right. I know it's come pretty fast. I know. On the CDC call, you know, they said, you know, there's a lot of worry about there that this was rushed through and it's not safe and whatever. And basically they wanted to reiterate that all the safety protocols were met. There's nothing that isn't safe about it. It's just that the data periods that you use to, you know, track, any adverse events or side effects or whatever were much more limited. You know, usually they might require something to, you know, show those trials for for a year or two. But in this case, they had to get a lot of people in the trial,
mm-hmm.
So they had more people. I think they said they had 44,000 people in the trial, which is much more. Probably they said 10 times more people than what normally would be in a new vaccine trial. And so they got a lot of people in it, but there's not a lot of time, lapse. Like, okay, we know what the impact on these 44,000 people have been, in the first month, in the first 2 months, but we don't know what the impact is at month 9 or month 12 or month 24. They did say, in their studies that you could see on the trend line that, after the first vaccine and for the first, 21 days, both the people that got the placebo, which means they didn't get the vaccine, and the ones that got the vaccine contracted COVID at the same rate. After the second vaccination and after that 7 to 10 day period, the placebo line continued at a 45 degree angle up of people getting COVID, and the vaccination line of those that got the vaccination line basically flattened and went across. So you had a big difference between those that got the vaccine and those that didn't get the vaccine, and that's a lot of what they use to approve a vaccine is what is that effectiveness, and that has been proven with those 44,000 people that you're 95% protected. But it doesn't mean that if you get the vaccine you won't get COVID, because there's still that 5% chance that you could be vaccinated and you could get COVID.
How concerned are you about the supply of the vaccine? I mean, it's right now there's a limited supply, and it's going to be doled out accordingly. A month, 2 months, 6 months down the road, do you think there's going to be enough vaccine for everybody?
I think there will be. I know they're ramping that up right now, and the Pfizer vaccine is basically out of Michigan. So, these first vaccines are being shipped out of Michigan. Now, there is some, there's some pretty high security with vaccine shipments. Nobody is being told when they're going to come or how they're going to arrive or anything like that, because there's been some traffic about terrorists and others wanting to disrupt the chain or the supply chain.
I was
going
to ask you about that, yeah.
Even for our security, once we get it to our refrigerator, you usually don't have to have it under lock and key and that sort of thing, but we will with this. I know I've heard that both tribal health departments are going to get some vaccine for their members as well, and I've heard they might be coming in by helicopter this week. There's a lot of unknowns, but I think we'll have a big enough supply. It's just how many, how long does it take to produce, what's in the U.S. now? 300 million. So, even if, to get everybody vaccinated that can take it and wants it, probably you're going to need a couple hundred million doses, and how long does that take to make?
Right,
and the recommendation is if you're under, I don't know if it's under 16 or under 18, you shouldn't get the vaccine because it doesn't impact children like it does adults. So you wouldn't have to vaccinate kids necessarily. Mm-hmm. They'd be the last ones to be offered the vaccine. So there's got to be quite a few million kids in our country as well that won't be on the list or won't need to get it.
Going to be interesting to see. Now, how many? I know that you said not all the staff are getting it there at War Memorial Hospital. Approximately how many, or percentage-wise, how many of your staff are going to be getting it in the first round?
Well, numbers we have right now is 300 and some have signed up to get it. So we have about 850 employees. So I would say that's 35% to 40%. Now, I think you would see a big jump in that number if there was more information provided about the vaccine and the risks associated with the vaccine, because people are still a little hesitant. They don't know what the risks might be, and they'd like to read them. Not that they would shy away from it if there was risks. Everybody takes risks, but a lot of the clinical people want to see that evidence first. But then on the opposite side, the CDC's campaign on growing confidence in the vaccine is to immunize healthcare workers first, because if healthcare workers get immunized at a pretty good rate and you don't see any complications or major side effects, then the hospital employees then go out to the community and say, "Hey, I had my COVID vaccine and it was no big deal," or
right.
that, "Yeah, I felt a little malaise for a day, but it was no big deal." That's the CDC strategy to gain confidence in the general population, is that once they see healthcare workers getting the vaccine and not having any issues with it, then the general public won't question it as much as they would right now. So in a way, I kind of chuckled to think that, well, okay, so you're using all of us healthcare workers as your guinea pigs to make sure the vaccine is safe and not going to have any major complications. And to some degree, you could take that look at it, but they've proven that there aren't major complications with it already. But as in life and anything else that you get, different people react different ways to different drugs, different treatments, and there's no guarantee that somebody won't have a complication or a more serious side effect to it. But if you haven't had any serious side effects when you're getting the regular flu shot, you're probably not going to have one when you get the COVID shot. But again, that's why it's a personal choice, and each person needs to, along with their healthcare provider, their primary care physician, needs to go over the risks and benefits of that and in their mind determine, hey, am I going to get this vaccine or aren't I? Just like a lot of young mothers and fathers have to decide whether their baby should get the mumps and the measles and all the rest of that. The only difference is those things have been around a long time and have shown their effectiveness and shown their safety, but there's still people out there that won't vaccinate their children because they don't think those vaccines are safe.
Are you guys are you going to kind of track those 300 employees and kind of maybe chart there any adverse reactions that they might have to the vaccine?
It's a requirement that we have to anybody who gets vaccinated has to be registered with what's called MICR in Michigan mm-hmm. Immunization something registry, and also with the federal government, we have to keep track of that. And the federal government actually has an app. I forget what the app is called, but basically when you get the vaccine, you can sign up for that app, and basically every day you'll get a message from the app, and they'll want to know if you're having any signs or symptoms or any complications, and that's how they're trying to build their data on the vaccine, and they're recommending that everybody use that app so that they can gain that information. Basically, we would do that in order for them to understand the impact of what's happening and be able to provide even more confidence to people who might not have gotten vaccinated yet.
Going to be an interesting week there at War Memorial Hospital, it sounds like.
Yeah, and it's because they say that 50% of the people will have some sort of reaction to the vaccine, and they don't want you, we don't want to vaccinate all our nurses in one day, because if they're all out sick the next day,
right.
That's not going to do us any good. So I see this as being a 5-week process probably before we get everybody vaccinated for the first time, because you're going to have to do it in waves, and
mm-hmm.
you're going to have to make sure the vaccine, just the right amount of vaccine, is unfrozen and used within that 6-hour period, and all of the logistical things. Okay, how many spots do you have in your waiting room? So once they're vaccinated, they can go sit there for 15 minutes and be observed and that sort of thing. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, and fortunately right now our numbers in the community seem to be dropping of COVID positive patients, so it'll give us more time to focus on the vaccine administration and all those logistics than it would if we were overwhelmed with inpatients at the hospital.
And I know we'll be talking again next Monday. That'll be the Monday before Christmas, and we'll make sure to remind people not to do those big gatherings for Christmas then, because I know we talked about that at Thanksgiving, and it seemed like people maybe paid attention because as you said, you really haven't seen much of a surge since then.
Yeah, and that was our worry a week or two ago, and now we're, or at least 2 weeks and probably 2.5 weeks past Thanksgiving, so most anything that might have been spread from family events there, should be already in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, it's positive. It's looking up, and hopefully that trend will continue.
All right. Well, anything else you want to add, Dave, before we let you go?
No. We'll as soon as we know things, we post things out on our Facebook page and our website, and we definitely want to keep the public informed. And as we know more and more about when vaccines will be available, and what different phase each person would be in, we'll provide that to each person. I wouldn't want everybody calling their primary care provider and asking when they can get the vaccine, because that's going to then overwhelm the primary care offices with phone calls.
Right.
I would think it's better just to be patient, and we'll release that information as soon as we can. Nobody will miss out on that, but it's hard to know there's a vaccine there, and then there's a hierarchy of who can get it, because I'm sure there's a lot of people that want to jump right to the front of the line and get it, then they may have to wait a few months before they can.
I don't know if you saw it. There was a calculator in the New York Times, was it last week or a couple weeks ago, to find your place in line for the vaccine based on different things. It was kind of interesting, and I was towards the middle of the line, I guess, which I guess was better than being at the back of the line. But well, Dave, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Monday, and thanks, obviously, to everybody. That was the other thing is, real quick, there's this new campaign now in town and you kind of alluded to it a couple weeks ago about letting healthcare workers know how much we appreciate them. Have you starting to see some of that come into the hospital? I know that the DDA and the Chamber of Commerce are doing things and collecting gift cards. Are you seeing any of that come into the hospital?
Yeah, we are, and I know it's getting a really good reaction from our staff. I mean, I've seen a number of photos that have been posted on Facebook with baskets or gifts or this and that from community from that program and from other organizations, and it really does help boost the spirits. I know we ourselves are giving out chamber bucks to all of our staff, $50 each. So you're talking probably $45,000 worth of chamber bucks that we want to give out to thank our staff for all the work they've been doing. But also, more importantly, or just as important, is to spend that money at local businesses, who many of them have been in a lot tougher spot than we have. And so it kind of does a great thing for our community. It thanks our healthcare workers, or here's a little $50 for Christmas that you can use, but it also has to be used at any chamber business, any local business, which should give a boost to our local businesses as well.
Absolutely. Well, Dave, we appreciate the time. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you next Monday.
All right. Thanks, Mark.